Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, happy birthday, stimulus bill. Tomorrow, February 17th, is the one-year anniversary of the signing of President Obama's Economic Recovery Act of 2009, a perfect time to take stock of what has and hasn't worked in the past 12 months. Tucked in a larger question, whether or not the economy has been effectively stimulated, are a series of smaller metrics, where the money has gone, how it was handed out, and whether or not the jobs it has created are likely to be permanent and strong. But in New York, 14% of African Americans are unemployed versus the state unemployment rate of only 8%. The disparity gets even worse when you compare African American men to their age peers. So today we are going to focus in on a single defined aspect of the stimulus, grading the nation and New York in particular on how effective the bill has been at targeting minority-owned and operated businesses. Disadvantaged business enterprises, as they're known, or DBEs, have been targeted by the president as a way to close the gap on some of the largest earning disparities in race and gender. Joining us now are two people who have been watching the stimulus unfold, Bettina Damiani, the project director for Good Jobs New York, and Angela Glover-Blackwell, the founder and CEO of PolicyLink. Welcome back to WNYC. Bettina, hello, Angela.
Good morning. Thank you.
How have your organizations been measuring the success or failure of the Recovery Act? Bettina, what have you been watching for?
We've been watching how local communities in New York City have either forced themselves into the game, so to speak, when projects have been proposed in low-income communities. We've been watching bonds specifically. The Recovery Act did a lot of things to our economy, and one of the areas is increased the ability for New York City to allocate more bonds on economic development projects. So we've been working hard with people on the ground to know when those opportunities come up and to push for good jobs for people that live in those communities.
Bob Herbert wrote a column last week about the ways the recession was hammering the lowest income wage earners in the country, but essentially glancing off the upper crust. He argued that the recovery as a result needed to be targeted at these low and middle income workers, that is, recovery stimulus funds. Do you agree, Angela, what are the provisions in how the stimulus money is being handed out that you would advocate to help with this?
I absolutely agree. The recession hit Black and Latinos first and worst, and they haven't been able to demonstrate any measurable improvement. As a matter of fact, the Economic Policy Institute is projecting that by the third quarter, 17% unemployment among Black workers, 14% among Latino workers. And so when we look at the stimulus package, one of the things that we have been pushing for is more targeting. We have to make sure that those people who have been hit hardest begin to see some expansion in their opportunities. And so we have been concerned that as we go forward, we really need to make sure that we really put a focus on first source hiring so that people in local communities actually get the jobs, more apprenticeship and job training programs, and really looking at increasing employment among ex-offenders, because these are things that we know will make a difference. This recession has been very deep in communities of color, and while there have been remarkable things in the stimulus to make sure that the safety net is stronger than it has been in the past, we haven't seen as much on the other end in terms of getting the jobs to low-income people of color so that they can come out of this recession in a better place than when they went in.
So, Angela, what have you been watching in terms of the Recovery Act, and how's it doing along the measures you just articulated?
Well, it's uneven. When you look at the resources that have been going to the states, and over $100 billion has been going to the states to make up for the devastation there and to reduce the impact of state budget cuts, we see real gains, but the projected cuts are so huge that people aren't going to feel much difference. But we do want to acknowledge that states have not had to reduce services as much as they would have if they hadn't received the support through the stimulus. Another area is that we have really been looking at this minority procurement and contracting issue. that if you think about minority and Latino and women-owned businesses, 5.2% are owned by black, 6.8% Latino, 28.2% women. But yet, when you look at what they've received through ARRA funds, the numbers are 1.1% for black, 1.6% for Latino, and 2.4% for women. And so we really would like to see a breaking up these contracts, debundling them so that the contracts are smaller and that women and minority contractors will have more access to them. Targeting, being specific about what the needs are, that's what we've been looking for.
Listeners, this is the first of three segments we'll be doing today, tomorrow, and the next day on the first birthday of the stimulus bill. It's tomorrow, technically February 17th, the one-year anniversary of the signing of the Economic Recovery Act of 2009, as it is officially known. I'm curious, anybody listening right now who thinks that your job was either created or saved as a result of the stimulus bill? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll talk about how it should change as the week goes on, but let's take stock so far. How have you been affected by the stimulus bill, if at all? Has your job been saved? If you're a business owner, has your company been able to create jobs or retain jobs because of any stimulus bill funding? Call up and and help us take stock of the impact of the stimulus bill in our area as it turns one. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Angela Glover Blackwell, the founder and CEO of Policy Link, which is an advocacy group advancing economic and social equity, and Bettina Damiani, project director for Good Jobs New York, which is also an advocacy group, particularly with respect to the New York area, obviously.
Brian, I'd like to echo something Angela said as people are considering whether they're calling in or not, is the amount of resources that have gone into the safety net. If you're getting unemployment insurance, if you now have access to food stamps that you didn't before, are able to see a doctor, these are all parts of the stimulus as well. So I think we need to take our hat and not think just whether you have a job that you can directly connect mm-hmm. to the employment, but whether that safety net helped you stay out of poverty or go deeper into poverty.
Fair enough. And I know that one of the things that your group, Good Jobs New York, Bettina, focuses on is trying to hold the government accountable when economic development agencies give subsidies to large corporations that threaten to leave New York City. So do you think that the stimulus bill has done anything to keep jobs in New York in particular as opposed to leaving the city or the state?
Yes. There's two ways to answer that question. One is, yes, because we're taking some of the stimulus money and investing it in our infrastructure, and that is key. If we have our subways falling apart and our streets breaking up, that's going to affect location decisions for firms and also, you know, job training opportunities so we have an intelligent workforce where people want to have their businesses here. The other piece, which we think could be greatly improved, is how the city is using bond programs to create job opportunities, and mostly it's happening in the boroughs. So as we know, construction jobs are good jobs, but we'd like to see these bonds create good permanent jobs for people in low-income communities. So the mayor has targeted areas of the city that have high unemployment, which is where we think these resources should go, but we feel there's a lack between making sure that the people that live in those communities that have lived there for years have access to good permanent jobs.
Listeners, how has the stimulus bill affected you directly, or as Bettina suggests, indirectly? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as the stimulus bill turns one. Donna in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Hey, Donna, thanks for calling.
Hello. You.
Good.
I just wanted to say, I did get laid off from a large bank, and I didn't have health care, and I was able to get 65% off my COBRA monthly bill, which added up to be, well, it's over $500, and with the amount that the stimulus helped me with, I was only paying like $200, And because of the extension of the stimulus, mm-hmm. I also got another 5 months under the COBRA with the 65% off. So it really saved me because I probably would not have been able to keep my health care without it.
Donna, thank you very much. Cindy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how about you?
I'm good. I am a real estate agent in Brooklyn, and I specialize in the Brownstone, Brooklyn area. And I really think that the tax credit for first-time home buyers, and in some cases second-time home buyers, really saved our industry. It was like a really scary moment back in September of 08 where we just felt like, you know, it was the end of the world. But the first-time home buyers came out, and it was like a shot in the arm, and I feel like, you know, it sort of kept some momentum. It was a different buyer from the buyer that we'd had in the boom time. And then when they extended the tax credit, it sort of kept the ball in motion. So while, you know, we haven't returned to like the rah-rah days where we would have like a line around the block for an open house, we have momentum, and it's kept our industry afloat, I think.
Has that provision expired?
No, actually, it was extended. So now, I mean, I'm seeing with my properties, a lot of first-time home buyers are trying to reach the deadline, which has now been extended to, I believe it's June, but they need to be in contract by April of this year. So,
Cindy,
it's been great.
Thank you very much. Miguel in Washington Heights, not quite as happy. Hi, Miguel. You're on WNYC.
Thank you for taking my call, Ryan.
Sure.
I've lost my job as a busher up here in Washington Heights. This is a predominantly Latino community, Hispanic community. There's not many jobs. Many of the small businesses who manage to create few and small jobs, most of the jobs are not going to people of this long time members of this community. The stimulus has, for people who have not read the newspaper or heard the news here, they don't even know what that is.
What do you think the stimulus bill could do, if you thought it through this much, Miguel, to create more jobs in Washington Heights?
I don't see much. Most of the streets, most of the roads here work pretty well. Maybe there's a couple of subway stations that could use repair. But that's going to go to the construction infrastructure or group of people who are doing those jobs now. You know, this is not going to add somebody from the from this community. You're not going to see them working here in a subway station repairing the walls or fixing up tracks or anything like that.
Angela Glover-Blackwell from Policy Link, you want to get in on this?
Yes, I certainly do. I think that the weatherization program and the retrofit programs really could do a lot in places like the Bronx to make sure that the homes that people live in aren't contributing to global warming and climate change, that we really could make sure that we begin to bring more economic vitality to underserved communities, really stimulating small businesses. And I want to say that there are a lot of neighborhoods across the country that have many, many vacant homes, and the Neighborhood Stabilization Program has been doing a good job, but it's not nearly large enough to be able to have the resources to buy and rehab vacant homes. All of these things that begin to improve community should be a bigger part of the stimulus so that people in low-income communities have access to jobs that improve the places where they live.
Bettina Damiani, you want to get in on this? I mean, there was certainly no stimulus line for butcher shops.
No, but this is where we feel there's an opportunity to expand training opportunities for people in communities that historically haven't had a chance to do the type of construction work that Miguel is talking about, and that there's a multiplier effect to that, right? If somebody that lives in Washington Heights gets a good quality job, then he or she does get to go to the local butcher. So I think we need to also incorporate good job training opportunities for people that historically have not had access to those kind of good jobs.
Miguel, good luck out there, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Did President Obama set an overall goal, Angela, in terms of what percentage of federal stimulus money he wanted to go to women and minority-owned businesses?
I don't know if there was an overall goal, but I'm sure that he and others are disappointed that we haven't been able to get more resources to women and minority businesses. And that's why I mentioned that there are things that can be done about that. If you unbundle the large contracts for small businesses, that will allow more of the businesses that are owned by women and minorities to be competitive. If we begin to think about how to be very aggressive about going out and reaching these businesses and also holding the larger contractors accountable, that will make a difference. It is no question that this is a complicated thing, getting America back to work. And I think that when we evaluate the stimulus package, we have to look at it in many different ways. I want to repeat just a little bit what Donna was saying about the COBRA. The average monthly COBRA cost for an American with the subsidy has been $370. Without it, it would have been $1,057. These kinds of things are extremely important, and we have to work at that end. But we know that in order for people to be able to maintain status in the middle class, they have to have access to jobs. They have to have access to entrepreneurial opportunities. And so my grade for the stimulus is that it's done a good job of being able to put a safety net in place. It needs to be stronger, but it's there. What we haven't been able to do yet is to get to those who were hit first and worst. The unemployment figures are astonishing in Black and Latino communities, and we're going to have to target to make a difference.
From our webpage, Jen on the Upper East Side writes, the increase in the National Institutes for Health budget provided by the stimulus has been really critical for all biomedical-related sciences. I think a lot of jobs in New York universities are made possible by this increase, not to mention the benefit to society from research conducted at institutions such as My Place of Employment, Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. So Jen shouting out to her employer, Bettina, but that's not something that you generally think of as stimulus-related, but I guess scientific research, at least according to this listener, had a line in the stimulus budget.
It certainly didn't. It was very large, and folks out at some of the SUNY universities will tell you that's been very important for them as well.
Here's Amit in Edison. You're on WNYC. Amit, hello.
Yes, I'm from New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling because I had more than $250,000 invested into the bank. And thanks for Mr. Obama's increasing FDIC insurance. Otherwise, I lose that thing. It's also I invest on Unity fund, which one is mostly American. They spend their money over there because they're paying high interest rate. And they bail them out to give them a secure for public. And
yeah.
I really appreciate that. Otherwise, I'd be on the street.
So, yes, you weren't an investor in bank shares. You had money in the bank. And because the FDIC limit was increased from $100,000 to $250,000, you feel that your savings was protected, basically, right?
Yes. And also, that it was a Unity fund, which IG bail out. And when IG bail out is... because most of the American people invest their money, they are safe too.
AIG. All right. So, Amit, thank you. And, Bettina, that's interesting because Amit's a fan of the bailout. I know some people, particularly in progressive political circles, say the bailout was terrible because it gave all this money to Wall Street. The stimulus was good because it spread money more around working people. Do you have that same dichotomy?
Yes, but I don't think it's as cut and dry. I think with the bailout, there was limited transparency, whereas there's been great efforts and great strides on behalf of the Obama administration and also in New York City to try and make how the stimulus monies are being allocated much more transparent so we can have an honest discussion and debate. And unfortunately... that type of transparency didn't really happen with the TARP, and we'd argue, especially in New York City, that a lot of the firms that received the bailout money also got a lot of city subsidies to create jobs and retain jobs. And how many jobs are still at some of these firms? Bear Stearns got two deals, one of them for 50 years. Where is our money going? Where are those jobs? So I think everyone would agree that having the information out there and having honest discussion and debate is really the key here, and that's happening more with the stimulus.
So Amit in Edison is happy with these policies. Onnit in Edison, I think, not so much.
Onkit.
Onkit, forgive me. You're on WNYC. I know we've spoken before. How you doing?
Hi, how you doing? Good. There's two things I have, two points that I have to make that it has helped out, because my family has a small business in Edison, and whatever benefits to little benefits that we got were way too late, and we had to cut a lot of employees who also are employed not only in New Jersey but also from New York, and had to cut a lot of them because there wasn't enough benefits or incentives being given to small businesses. And the second thing is that it also hurt us because, it's an interesting point that the one of the two guest speakers that are speaking, $100 billion have been given to states, yet New Jersey didn't allocate it properly because Christie has just increased property taxes and has cut school funding by a lot due to the fact that there wasn't enough funding being given to the state budget because it was such a large.
Whoops, you're breaking up. Onkit, are you still? If you're still there, tell me how you feel about the jobs bill that's being debated right now in terms of some of the tax credits and depreciation credits that would be provided to small businesses. Would they matter?
Would definitely matter because it wouldn't just help small businesses, it would help startup businesses or entrepreneurs, and that's a big lacking where I don't think they've promoted, and especially like the because it says it has women's or minority business owners or small businesses. So if it doesn't help that small group, how can it help the general population? I mean, I'm looking at the bill, and any benefit is better than no benefit, but I think there needs to be a lot more push and a lot more emphasis on small business and entrepreneur, this entrepreneur spirit that drove American economy for decades. And, it hasn't had the emphasis for a very long time.
Onkit, thank you for your call. All right, one more question from our comments page, Angela. The question is, somebody wrote in, how are Asian Americans and Native Americans affected? Yet again, these two vulnerable populations are not counted in a discussion on minority and people of color issues. Do you know?
It is often true that the data for Native Americans does not come up in these discussions. The numbers often don't get broken out that way. For Asians, I actually don't have the data. I have the data for Black and Latinos because mm-hmm. the unemployment rates have been so high mm-hmm. in those communities. But we always know that whatever is happening in low-income communities of color, Native Americans are suffering as much, if not worse.
So what's going to happen? 15 seconds for each of you. What's going to happen, Angela, in year two? Is this money still there for a lot of the things that you've talked about so far? Is it even going to be there more because now it's just getting into the pipeline? Or is this going to fall off a cliff, as some of the economists say?
I think we're going to see some improvements as we get more of the stimulus money into the pipeline. The unemployment rates are projected to go up. Five states in which we expect it to reach over 20% for African Americans. So things don't look great going forward, but we've seen some impact.
Bettina, same question. Is this money going to run out and then fall off a cliff and just kind of stop cold? You see how much opposition there is in Congress right now to a stimulus too.
Certainly. I think particularly when it comes to some of the safety net expenditures, as much as there's a lot of screaming in other parts around the country, they recognize that if people don't get unemployment benefits, their bills won't get paid, and that is the beginning of the end. So I think that will be extended after some drama, and recognizing that once this money starts moving into communities and people become more engaged, I'm feeling optimistic.
Bettina Damiani, Project Director for Good Jobs New York. Angela Glover-Blackwell, founder and CEO of Policy Link. Thank you both very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Our series on the Recovery Act, the Stimulus Bill at 1, continues tomorrow. We'll continue to talk about jobs in a minute as we continue to launch our new radio series and Facebook community, Help Wanted. Stay with us.